Become our friend on Facebook. Post on our wall your thoughts about our shows and network. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Where do you stand as a leader? Are there things you would change about your business or organization? Welcome to What's Leadership Got to Do With It with your host, Rick Thiemann. Together, we'll explore the five dynamics that exist in every workplace, as well as answer some of your leadership questions. Now, here's your host, Rick Thiemann.
Hey, good afternoon, or good morning to those of you who are on the West Coast. It's a little bit time difference there. My name's Rick Thiemann. I'm your host for the day on this show, What's Leadership Got to Do With It? Again, back returning is my guest, friend and colleague, John Gannon. And we're back to talk about part two of strategic planning. And strategic planning encompasses so much, it's really impossible to do in two shows. I mean, this could probably be a 4 or 5 week segment. And actually, in the sessions that we lead, I mentioned that many consultants I've met, you know, try to get executives out for a 2-day planning retreat and come back away with a strategic plan. And that's fine if you're just a mom-and-pa business with maybe 5 employees, but you get much bigger than that, and that makes it really, really tough and really difficult to do. But the show, What's Leadership Got to Do With It, is an outcome of the book that I'm writing that should be published here by the end of the year called What's Leadership Got to Do With It. And the tagline of my business is called Linking Human Capital with Strategic Intent. And John and I are going to discuss today kind of the formality of strategic planning, but in a moment I'll recap last week's show and talk about what's in store for this week's show. But as we look at the structure of the book, it's mapped out in 5 chapters. Chapter 1 is about culture, and we'll speak somewhat to culture today as it relates to developing a successful plan. Chapter 2 is about individual contributors. Chapter 3 of the book is about group dynamics and how well the groups interplace and interplay with one another. Chapter 4 of the book is about business, your business strategy and the business dynamics, which is the essence of last week's show and this week's show. And then Chapter 5 is about the structure of your business and how it's driven. John and I have worked together when John worked for 2 former different companies. We were one of his vendors, and we'll speak to some of those experiences as well to show you how that ties in with strategic planning. But to recap last week's show, we talked about just business in general and why it's interesting that in the last 40 years, when strategic planning has become much more to the forefront of today's business world, why in the last 40 years have the foreign competition continued to eat our lunch? And John and I spoke to some of those things last week, and we're going to speak to a few more of those things again this week. But the basic premise is that hope is not a business plan, and a business plan or a budget's not your business plan, it's an operating plan. But in last week's show, we talked about a couple of things. I gave some examples about an article that I had just come across about the 7 biggest blunders or the 7 biggest deals that went bad. One of the examples was Sony's 1989 purchase of Columbia Pictures for $4.8 billion, and then the next 5 years they lost $3.2 billion. Another one of those examples was Mercedes-Benz came in and bought Chrysler for $40 billion and 10 years later sold it for $6 billion. And that article really spoke to some of the things about the lack of strategic planning and the lack of implementation and execution and the process. And we'll speak to some of that this afternoon. But, John, I also talked about auditing your business and why it's essential to take a look at the brutal facts of where we're at. We talked about vision. And unless there's a common cause for people to rally around, most people will just wander around. And then John spoke about the 4 areas to prep your business in terms of vertical markets and product and geography and channel. So we tried to give you a little bit of idea of last week, the kind of the dynamics of the strategic planning. But I'll throw this back to John, and that is that, you know, there's a question that says, and most people ask this, is how will next year be different from this year in terms of, let's say, going to strategic planning? I like to change that and say, what must we do differently next year to get closer to our strategic intent? So, John, why don't you kind of, you know, play off of that piece in terms of growing your strategic plan and driving your business forward?
Well, we finished our discussion last week with a very brief coverage of the vision statement. And again, I want to stress, a vision statement for me is not something that is to be put into the lobby for all the employees, the vendors, and the guests into the facility to look at, as much as it is a guideline, a where do we want to be in 3 to 5 years if we are successful statement. So in order to accomplish that, it's my opinion that you need to take a very frank look at yourself. You need to look in the mirror and understand exactly who you are at this point in time and what has been successful in the past that has brought you to this position today. Once that is done, once the vision statement is prepared, I think what you need to do is to put down a couple of bullet points on just a couple of 4 or 5 clear, down-to-earth statements of what spells winning for this organization each of the next couple of years, so that at the end of the 3 or 5 year scope, you're able to say, hey, we have been successful, we have, if not achieved, at least approached our vision, and we're ready to take a look at what the next stages of our business growth, our business, our journey through the business world ought to take us. And in order to do all this, of course, it's my opinion that you need to have complete buy-in from each member of the leadership team. So full buy-in and involvement of the leadership team in these 4 or 5 down-to-earth bullet points is critical. It's from this point of view, it's from this position where I think you're going to be able to lay out the operational plan that'll drive the business on a 1 or 2 year scope.
So one of the things, John, let's talk about next, and that is that we broached the concept last week of the difference between strategic thinking versus strategic planning. And I want to just, we didn't spend a lot of time on that per se last week because we spent more time on, actually we spent a lot of time, as I went back and listened to last week's show, we spent a lot of time on debacles and how you stay away from an organization and your strategic plan or your execution of your plan being a debacle, as some of those 7 largest blunders were. But you know, I think a lot of companies miss the mark in terms of really evaluating ways in which they can grow. And this is why I'm a proponent of the strategic thinking process versus strategic planning, because strategic planning happens when, oh, guess what? This is October, so John, in your background, when October happens, what goes down?
Yeah, that's the time to put the check in the box that says, okay, we've completed the operating plan or the strategic plan, this year's strategic plan for the next year. And I don't think that's what we're trying to get at. A strategic vision for the organization, a strategic outlook, strategic thinking, those are what should drive the basic business plan. And what you should be trying to do is boil down that strategic vision back down to a daily, weekly, monthly operating plan or action plan.
So let me give
the actions then that will promote the overall strategy and vision going forward.
So as I went back and listened to last week's show, one of the things I don't think that I gave clarity on was when I refer to strategic thinking, what do I really mean by that? And it's about how you're going to grow your business. Sometimes strategic planning talks about how we're going to take what we have and take it to market, and then what was last year's budget and how much did we do in last year's sales, and we had 10% or maybe we had 15% because we're going to have 5% lost business and we want 10% new net business. So, you know, we factor that in and there we go. But you've got to go back to the strategic thinking piece and understand that there's really 8 ways you can grow your business. And I think that there's less attention paid to this in the strategic planning because October comes, we've got to have the plan done, we've got to have the budget done, our numbers in place, how much we're going to sell. You know, it's about forecasting, all right? And that forecasting really is nothing more than a SWAG method, which is a SWAG or SWAG or scientific wild-ass guess about what we think we're going to do. But when I talk about eight ways to grow, and John, I know you did a lot of this with your stint with Cooper Tools and also with Draeger, but there's eight ways you can grow your business. One is just to stay put. It's a single focus. Where are we at, and how do we just hunker down and do what we do best and stay with what we know and stick with the knitting, so to speak? The second way to grow your business is look at the product development. How do we develop that product and make it the next great idea or the next great concept? One of our clients and a company that the president of this company, John worked for, but they are taking the next generation product and developing it to move into the electronic mode from the mechanical mode. Well, that's the product development. And then you have your product expansion. So what can we do from a product expansion standpoint? Your next area to grow is your market development, how you develop those markets. Also, you can look at forward integration, backward integration, vertical integration, or even diversification. And so what I've seen most companies fail to miss the mark is they don't explore all eight different ways to grow the market and then build into their strategic plan different ways to expand their business and grow their business and move it out 3 to 5 years and exponentially grow it versus just grow it through 10% growth. So, John, what was, when you were with Cooper, what were some of the dynamics or any of the other clients, your companies you may have worked for that really understood that the different ways to grow?
Well, you know, on the product side, those were all critical elements on what you want to do from a product standpoint. But, as you bake all those together, I think what you find is that piece, what kind of a company, what kind of a product-related company, forward integration, backward integration, new product development, do you want to copy, do you want to be a business product leader? I think all of those are part of those four elements that we talked about for focus and represents one of the key, the vertical market. Are you designing the right products for that attractive vertical market? Are you developing profitable products, products that are flexible for semi-customization? Do you have the right product for the right piece of the world, and do you have the right product that is capable of being sold into the channel? So I think those are important things, but I think they're really one of the four or five elements that are critical in developing the focus.
John,
to give you an example of that, we had...
Hey, John?
Yes, sir.
Keep your thought. We've got to go to break here. My name's Rick Thiem, and I'm your host of What's Leadership Got to Do With It? My colleague and associate, John Gannon. We're talking about ways to grow your business and strategic planning. We'll come back after the break, and we'll get into more depth. So look forward to having you back.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. 20 years of research shows us that 20 to 25% of an organization's sales force is underwater. A salesperson selling at 75% of quota is costing you at least $5,000, including opportunity costs. Our program, Developing Sales Force Effectiveness, shows you how to manage these underperformers more effectively. Improving the sales effectiveness of just two salespeople will give you a 100% return on investment. For more information, visit the Executive Group website at www.theeg.com.
Tune in every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. On the show, Aldana and some of today's top business professionals will discuss some of today's most pressing business issues that hold you, the business owner, back. Aldana will also give you 21 ways to grow with her list of growth strategies. Grow smart, grow profit, and grow your business with Aldana Ambler and The Growth Strategist every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time. Right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
For the past 20 years, the Executive Group has helped organizations recruit, select, train, develop, and coach their most valuable asset, their people. Whether entry-level or top leadership, the Executive Group uses a variety of tools considered to be the gold standard in assessments and development to provide insight and direction to help our clients show the greatest return on their most valuable investment. For more information on how the Executive Group can help you link strategic intent with human capital, visit our website at www.theeg.com.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to What's Leadership Got to Do with It, featuring your host, Rick Thiemann. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to assessment@theeg.com. Now, back to Rick Thiemann.
Hey, welcome back. I'm your host, Rick Thiemann, with my friend, colleague, and associate, John Gannon. Before the break, we were talking about the 8 different ways to market your business, and John and I were kind of laughing about product expansion. It's like, so what do you do when the CEO gets this wild hair and says, I got a great idea, you know, it snows a couple times a year in Atlanta, let's sell snowmobiles into Atlanta as our next market strategy. You know, what do you do, John, when you've come across somebody who's got this harebrained idea and you just know it's not going to work?
Well, what you have to do, of course, is make sure that you've got facts, and hopefully you have an attitude and a personality in the business leader who's willing, when facing the facts, to make the proper decision. So there are a lot of decisions that are made in small businesses and in large businesses that are based on emotion, on gut, on this and that, and really you need to boil it back down to facts. And I think that's critical once we've got this vision statement, and once we start trying to bring it down to the organization to be able to explain it to the rest of the team is, okay, how do we in smaller bites take this vision thing, these 3 or 4 year objectives, and bring that down to goals, monthly, quarterly, or annual goals that can serve as milestones to make sure we're on track in achieving the overall business. And I know that one of the critical things in doing that is to make sure that you've synchronized all of the different facets and all of the departments and sub-organizations within the company. That idea of synchronization is critical if you're going to get the entire team to be walking in the same direction according to the same cadence.
Well, you know, as you look at, you know, some of the examples of businesses today and why some businesses grow and some businesses don't, you really have to go back to all the things we're talking about. And I came across one of the examples where back in 1973, Pitney Bowes and a company called AdressoGraph were both similar size revenue, similar profits, similar number of employees. The stock charts were similar. They monopolized their markets in many ways. And the interesting thing was that when you look about growth, obviously Pitney Bowes did some right things and AdressoGraph didn't, because no one knows who AdressoGraph is today. But by 2000, Pitney Bowes had over 30,000 employees compared to AdressoGraph's 670 employees, and Pitney Bowes had $4 billion in revenues versus AdressoGraph's $100 million. And so the piece was is that the acquisition trail that Ray Ashe went on as a CEO by 1976 for AdressoGraph literally buried the company. And everything backfired. But the piece is that as we look at really moving towards understanding, you know, your vertical integration, your backwards integration, and different ways to grow your business, this Ray Ashe was brought in from Litton Corporation, where he built a successful corporation through Litton through acquisitions, was asked to do the same thing, and it actually backfired. So before you can really move your business forward, back to that audit piece that John and I talked about, it's addressing where you're at right now and then taking a look at what's evolving and what's emerging. And one of the things that we're going to move towards in these next couple sessions or John and my discussion has to do with, you know, leveraging your human capital beyond your budgeting that we get into. But when we look at the whole budget equation, the difference between planning and strategy. So you move through strategic thinking, and that is, what are the possibilities of where we could be? You move to then setting your strategy, and then you move to setting your planning. And there's what I want to call the cascade of planning, and that is that planning usually happens in the boardroom with some of the key executives, but planning rarely goes down beyond, you know, the first or maybe even the second rung, if you will, of strategic planning. So thinking in terms of the cascade of planning and getting people to buy in, you know, one of the adages that we talked about last week was people support what they help create. And in the world of strategic planning, you know, does everyone in the organization understand a strategic plan and a strategic initiative? And if they don't, how can they execute things? So when we talk about feathering down or filtering down the plan and then moving it from sales to marketing or from marketing to sales or from the business boardroom to operations or to engineering or do all of those disciplines understand the essence of strategic planning? And John, working in large organizations like you have that dynamic of the left hand not knowing what the right hand's doing. And so speak to the importance of moving strategic planning beyond just the board or the boardroom or the key executives.
It's absolutely critical, and I mentioned the word synchronization, and that is to make sure that all of the elements, all the different wheels of the watch are working properly so that the watch can keep time. And the only way to make sure that you've got organizational synchronization is to make sure that in very simple terms you select four or five or perhaps six key goals that can be achieved on an annual basis, that can be driven down into the organization and sub-plans and sub-sub-plans and down to the work cell or down to the sales territory or down to the customer service agent can have their own action plan by which they're going to try and achieve that same goal and objective. There are a lot of distractions in a business, large or small. We're all wearing a lot of hats. There are a lot of things that pull our attention away from the business at hand. So by having four or five key goals that serve as these benchmark, these milestones during the course of the year, what you're really doing is saying that if we didn't work on these four or five priorities set by the leadership team or by the supervisory team or by the actual work team, then we will not achieve our goals or our vision. So with all the distractions on a day-to-day basis, if I go home at the end of the day and I didn't work on these four, five, or six things, then I didn't do my job and I didn't move the ball forward down the field toward the overall goal. Now, part of that, and you mentioned an important thing, part of that is a cultural element. And that is something that a lot of companies spend a lot of time making sure that, and again, I'm talking small companies and large companies here, can the culture support actions, the development of action plans and the development of goals and objectives all the way down into the organization and really create an atmosphere of change within that organization. Now, Rick, you're one of the things that you focus on in your business is helping people better understand the types of employees who can best match the culture that's trying to be put in place.
In the original writing of the book, chapter 3 was about corporate culture. And after 20 years of doing what I'm doing right now and analyzing a lot of the companies and having worked very heavily involved in some companies, and there was one client I was literally on retainer there 5 days a month for 3 years and got to really understand the culture. And as we mapped out the 3-year strategic plan on where things were going to go, and we put 23 initiatives in place across sales, marketing, and operations to support the growth, I could not get the culture to change to accept the things that were going on. It was a third-generation, family-owned company. But so I immediately moved, and now chapter one It's about culture and recognizing that you can't get this juggernaut to move forward if the culture won't accept what you're trying to put into place. And so culture to me is the number one thing. I mean, sure we have to have a vision, but then will the culture support the vision? And does the operations, so for example, if we've got a CEO who was a former accountant and then controller and chief financial officer who becomes the CEO, guess what's going to happen to innovative strategy? Probably not a whole heck of a lot. Or what about the engineering manager who becomes president, or the sales manager who becomes president, or, you know, and the list goes on. And so are you a sales-driven organization? Are you a marketing-driven organization? Are you a manufacturing-driven organization? Are you an engineering-driven? And what happens is that the discipline of the CEO sets the culture and therefore somewhat locks in the kind of the business plan, much to my comment about the guy, Ray Ash, who built Litton through acquisitions and comes into address the graph and has the same mindset and doesn't recognize he's not dealing with the same animal. So culture is a huge piece that limits a business's ability to get forward. And John, we spoke last week about the other place you work for that we work with, the European company, and the culture of Europe and them trying to implement in this culture, in the U.S. culture, a strategy that worked well in Europe, but it's horrible in the U.S.
That's exactly right. Where they had a dominant position in Europe, they had a struggling third tier or at least second tier position in the United States. They had some cool products, some great products, but really the confidence that they projected in Europe as the number one player in that marketplace was perceived as arrogance. As where are these guys coming from by the U.S. and the North American marketplace. And the unfortunate thing was that very often we were trying to drive that confidence, that arrogance became a piece of the overall strategy and the way that we conducted business on a daily basis. It was not a proper way, and we spent quite a bit of time to convince the leadership that element of the culture needed to go away at least until we were in a second or first position within the marketplace, and then we can thump our chests and flex our muscles and do those things. For right now, or
so John,
for
at the point go to break that, again. Keep cutting you off, man. I'm sorry. I got to go to break again. I'm your host, Rick Thiemann, along with John Gannon. We're talking about strategic planning and how to get out of your own way, I guess, is what we're trying to communicate. We're getting ready for break. You can give us a call at 866-472-5790 if you've got any questions, or contact us at rick@theeg.com, and we'll return in a moment.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
For the past 20 years, the Executive Group has helped organizations recruit, select, train, develop, and coach their most valuable asset, their people. Whether entry-level or top leadership, the Executive Group uses a variety of tools considered to be the gold standard in assessments and development to provide insight and direction to help our clients show the greatest return on their most valuable investment. For more information on how the Executive Group can help you link strategic intent with human capital, visit our website at www.theeg.com.
20 years of research shows us that 20 to 25% of an organization's sales force is underwater. A salesperson selling at 75% of quota is costing you at least $5,000, including opportunity costs. Our program, Developing Sales Force Effectiveness, shows you how to manage these underperformers more effectively. Improving the sales effectiveness of just two salespeople will give you a 100% return on investment. For more information, visit the Executive Group website at www.theeg.com.
No family can survive on two incomes anymore, let alone one. If you are supplementing your family's income working from home, then tune into The Cash Flow Show, Direct Sales Radio. Host Deb Bixler brings you sales tips, lead generation systems, and best business practices that guarantee direct sales success. Whether you're looking for a little extra cash or a career change, The Cash Flow Show, Direct Sales Radio will give you proven systems that will work in your home business. The Cash Flow Show, every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Business Channel.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You are listening to What's Leadership Got to Do With It, featuring your host, Rick Thiemann. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to assessment@theeg.com. Now, back to Rick Thiemann.
Hey, welcome back. I'm your host, Rick Thiemann, with my friend and colleague, John Gannon, and we're talking about strategic planning. We're with the Executive Group, and the Executive Group is an organization that's been in business for 20 years, and our focus is on linking human capital with strategic intent, which is really also today's discussion and topics, but we just went to break, we were talking about corporate culture, and which is chapter one of the book, and also the very first show, which you can see on our website at www.theeg.com. You can download that show if you want to hear more about what we do in terms of corporate culture. But as we talk about moving forward with driving your business, one of the things we have available for those listeners, if you want it, we can email it to you as well. It's our strategic business planning model, which follows a specific format that helps you make sure you're addressing your vision and your measurement systems and your human capital and the things that will drive from the leadership right on down to the execution piece. But as we talk about, we've kind of made light of the budgeting process in that what strategic planning is not. It's not about forecasting sales and then determining what we should do in order to fulfill the forecast. Nor is budgeting a situation where, as it's traditionally done, is budgeting typically, budgeting should follow, not lead, annual planning. And I think that's a misconception that happens. And then once you move into the operational planning side, is how do you then transcend your strategic plan and your vision from your sales and marketing initiatives into your operational plan, so that engineering and R&D and purchasing and distribution understands where we're at with the business planning process. One of our clients we're working with right now was in the process of wanting to go into their strategic planning session in November and ask us to take a look at how we might lead that for them this year. We've never done this for this client before in the past. And they were not what I'd call in crisis mode, but they were in what I would call challenge mode, in that getting ready between now and the end of the year to launch 6 new products, and also in the process of preparing in March and April to move their whole plant, along with the fact that it was a decision that was made to let go of their production manager, who was creating complete chaos and a lot of instability in the plant to begin with, along with the fact that the sales manager to be may not be the right guy. On the heels of all that, I ask, well, why do we want to go into strategic planning right now? I think that's just premature. So it's evaluating where you're at and then making sure that you're getting into the right frame of mind. And John used the term synchronization, and that's what the methods I use with this particular owner, president of the company. I said, you really need to have what I would classify as a synchronization meeting. And we'll talk about synchronization and give you a great example about that. But I think that one of the next things that comes into play is that we really don't have a set of strong management by objectives, and I don't think we hold people accountable to those objectives when they aren't met. What's been your experience, John?
Well, I think the reason that people aren't actually held accountable, or really, I think it comes down to a point you made earlier, that there may not be buy-in in the development of those objectives. So if the employee, if the staffer, if the salesperson understands what the objective is for the year, what the goal is for the year, and he understands that every day he needs to be working on those four or five or six elements, then I think it becomes pretty easy to develop targets to improve, KPIs or MBOs, objective management or management objectives, that can assist the person in gauging milestones, benchmarks that'll help them accomplish what or her accomplish what they want to achieve. But it's that buy-in. And there's some organizations culturally where everything is being driven from the top down where employee buy-in doesn't happen or doesn't need to happen. And there are others where the employees have so much latitude, oftentimes in smaller organizations where they're wearing so many hats, that perhaps they have never put it down on paper exactly what it is that they want to achieve. So,
John,
they go from a loose-knit organization to an organization that requires structure.
So, John, how many meetings have you been in where people that were there attended left without any firm conclusion about who does what, where, and when?
The minutes of the meeting, the establishment of the action plan, the rah-rah, let's go, everybody head out, ready, hike, I think is critical in achieving the objectives of the organization.
We've also
all sat around the table talking about Company X and how wonderful they are and how we'd like to be like them without ever going outside the room to ask them how difficult has this pathway been and what are the pitfalls and pratfalls that you've come across while you're trying to lead that company down the pathway. And here you are emulating them without understanding what brought them into place.
Well, one of the things I've observed in the 20 years of doing this is that rarely do I find companies understand that execution is part of your strategic plan, and execution is a process that requires an extreme amount of debrief. And without the debrief, we don't find, or the mistakes wind up getting glossed over, and the lessons that we could learn that could move information up the organization to help become more effective over time gets lost. And it's about then evaluating and auditing where you're at and continually coming back and making things better. And you can't do that without continuing to debrief and make things better. One of the interesting things I read in a book called Flawless Execution shows that we fought over 1,000 engagements with the Viet Cong and the Vietnam War, and we won over 90% of those battles. We had superior tactics, equipment, soldiers, technology. I mean, you name it, we had it. But, you know, we lost the war. And the thing that he points out in the book is that, you know, we used to send reconnaissance planes over the jungles of Vietnam looking for the Viet Cong, and then we bring in our fighter jets and blow it up afterwards. Well, after a while, we were blowing up jungles where no Viet Cong existed because the Viet Cong figured out that, hey, once that reconnaissance plane came in, guess what comes next? So the target was moved, and without the debrief of what's going on, we missed the mark of what happens. And so when we talk about, John spoke about synchronization, and here's a great example about synchronization, and that is when they go to fly a mission, they have to look at takeoff time and airspeed and fuel limitations. They've got to look at weather limitations, air cover over a certain amount of time, distance issues, abort plans. They've got to look at exact time over target, enemy encounters. All those things are, when you look at the world of business and how similar business is to that analogy, it's no wonder that we missed the mark so many times, or some of these mega deals like Mercedes-Benz acquisition of Chrysler, for $40 billion and sell it for $6 billion 10 years later because it just went south, speaks to the lack of follow-up to find out. So this was the vision. We spent $40 billion for this company. Are we getting our return? What didn't happen? So the debriefing, I don't see organizations when they go into strategic planning, I don't see them spending enough time in the synchronization mode and the debrief mode about, where are we? Are we on track? Are we on plan? If not, why not? How do we adjust? How do we change things up? How do we go back to the drawing board if we need be and say, you know what, this isn't working? But what happens is we try to drive that through because that was the mission rather than saying, you know what, we really need to abort the mission. So when you look at those, all those things encompassing from a strategic initiative, it's the implementation and then it's the execution.
So exactly right. And the beyond the execution is the question of, are you doing a postmortem on losses and are you celebrating the victories? And if you've had a victory, does it achieve the level that you established in your milestones and benchmarks? Working with a small company called Viable Resources, which does a lot of implementations around the contact center, and this is an area with new government regulations in the mortgage industry. It's seeing a high amount of growth in order to put the right tools into contact centers or call centers, reservation centers, to make sure that the right skills are on the phone when Rick Thiemann calls to complain about his mortgage or John Gannon calls to complain about his mortgage. And one of the things that I'm really enjoying with this company is the fact that we celebrate the losses. We have a postmortem and really look ourselves in the mirror when there is a loss, and we celebrate the victories. So even in victories, we're finding that there are things that could be improved, things that can be analyzed, where the next time we come into a competitive situation or into an implementation situation or a follow-up situation, we have got all of the facts and we've got an action plan to improve the next go-round. And I think you're right, Rick, when you say that the follow-up is something that may be missing in a lot of businesses today.
Well, it's the follow-up that links and uncovers where your issues are. So when you're trying to push a project forward, you have to go back and say, is our timeline being met? What are our variables? What are we missing? You know, what's on the table right now that we didn't see before? As we came back from the last mission, what didn't we catch that we can make improvements on? So it's all about getting better. We're getting ready to take off for another break. I'm your host, Rick Thiemann. You can check us out at the website at www.thieg.com. The Executive Group has been in business for 20 years, and we're talking about strategic planning with my friend and colleague, John Gannon. If you've got any questions, call us at 866-472-5790 or email us at rick@thieg.com. When we come back, we're going to close out the session, and we're going to talk about another concept that will help drive your business forward and accomplish your strategic plan. So look forward to having you back.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
If you currently or aspire to serve on a board or work in a leadership capacity for or with a public or nonprofit organization, where can you turn to get the best advice and practices? How about Leadership Matters with Dr. G? Our program discusses challenges facing both public and nonprofit leaders. Don't miss these practical solutions and tips to enhance your leadership style and effectiveness. Leadership Matters with Dr. G airs live Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. For the past 20 years, the Executive Group has helped organizations recruit, select, train, develop, and coach their most valuable asset, their people. Whether entry-level or top leadership, the Executive Group uses a variety of tools considered to be the gold standard in assessments and development to provide insight and direction to help our clients show the greatest return on their most valuable investment. For more information on how the Executive Group can help you link strategic intent with human capital, visit our website at www.theeg.com. 20 years of research shows us that 20 to 25% of an organization's sales force is underwater. A salesperson selling at 75% of quota is costing you at least $5,000, including opportunity costs. Our program, Developing Sales Force Effectiveness, shows you how to manage these underperformers more effectively. Improving the sales effectiveness of just two salespeople will give you a 100% return on investment. For more information, visit the Executive Group website at www.theeg.com. When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to What's Leadership Got to Do with It, featuring your host, Rick Thiemann. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to assessment@theeg.com. Now, back to Rick Thiemann.
Hey, welcome back. I'm your host, Rick Thiemann, along with my friend and colleague, John Gannon. And we work with organizations in their strategic planning initiatives. I believe I mentioned at the last break that if you're interested, those of your listeners, we have a strategic business planning model that we can email to you, complimentary, just to see the outline. We can also help you facilitate that. But we were talking about, before we went to the break, we were talking about kind of the synchronization of things. And there's some things that if you look at, can really get in the way and derail your implementation process. And one of those things we were speaking to was a lack of periodic review. Another thing is, you know, John had mentioned, you know, work on 4 to 5 strategies. Don't try to mess with a dozen strategies. You get too broad brushed on those initiatives unless those are spread across a number of situations. You can get involved in analysis paralysis. You can have too many changes or what I call plan security. You know, I mean, it's top security, if you will. And some things need a little bit more security than others, but we can go too far in terms of saying, well, we don't want to let the organization know what we're doing. Not having a planning calendar or starting too slow, not getting off the mark, those are things that can derail that. But another thing that can derail that is the people side. And I don't think enough emphasis is placed on the people side as it looks at strategic planning. And what I mean by that is that if you don't have the right talent, if you will, to drive that strategic plan, then you're really shooting in the dark and setting yourself up for failure if you don't have the right people that can execute. And this one client I referred to a little earlier in the show that just let their production manager go. As we evaluated that individual and their talents, and we looked at the skill sets and kind of what's going on, they were looking at demoting him, and there were just too many issues around people who didn't want to work for him. So it made perfect sense then to say, you know, we can't push our plan forward if we don't have people that respect or want to follow the leader we've got in that position. So how do you then begin drive that? And the way John and I began to work together in the beginning wasn't on strategic planning. That evolved with one of the things I did for him with his organization when he was at Cooper. But one of the things that John and I worked on was getting the right salespeople in place to execute in terms of his ability to go to market faster. So, John, speak to not having the right salespeople in the right sales roles, you know, to drive your sales plan. Or you can speak to the same thing in terms of not having the right operations manager and the right not having the business manager. But in John's case, in terms of our specific work, had to do with sales. So where did that show up, John?
Well, one of the things that you have to remember is that a culture evolves inside of an organization. It's not a static element that 10 years from now the culture of an organization is going to be exactly what it might have been 10 years ago. So you have to, back to the auditing thing, you have to understand, take some good looks at yourself to make sure that you understand what is the culture. On the sales side, in arriving at an organization like Rick mentioned, we had a culture of having I sort of stereotype three different types of sales guys. They're foot-in-the-door guys, men and women who are able to make that cold call and sort of start the business off. They're relationship people who are able to manage the sales process over the longer term. And then there are closers, folks who are assassins who in very short order can ask for the order. All three of those are different types of skills, and all three of those are required within an organization. What I found upon arriving at Cooper is that we had all relationship folks. They were all very good at maintaining the long-term relationship. But what became clear was they were also very good at maintaining GDP-level growth. So when we were talking about becoming a sales and marketing-oriented company and becoming very nimble on the sales and marketing side to drive growth into the organization, it was clear that we did not necessarily have the right team in place. So I turned to Rick and said, Rick, how do we find growth-oriented people, people willing to take chances, people willing to take risks? How do we drive that? And as positions became open within the organization, we turn to Rick and his team to give us an assist in finding aggressive, growth-oriented, professional sales and marketing people who could manage a business plan and had enough runway to develop into sales managers and business managers further on down the road. Now, Rick, I'll turn it back to you to talk about what that process looked like and how we accomplished it.
Well, and that's how we began. That's how John and I first hooked up, and that is that it, in one of the component pieces to the consulting work that we do is really evaluating Salesforce effectiveness. And one of the upcoming shows, I believe it's even next week's show, is developing Salesforce effectiveness. But it starts with really the assessment process that we use. That supported John, and John found it successful enough that he's taken it with him since Cooper and even beyond that, but which really created the basis for our friendship and working relationship. But the piece is that when you look at the difference between hunters and farmers in the sales arena, or even if we were looking at, let's just say that we needed to expand our R&D capacity, you could even look at assessments to evaluate whether you have good design engineers or good process engineers, and you might be ladled with all process engineers, and you want to grow your market, and you want to increase your market space, so you've got to bring new products to market, but you don't have any people with any design experience. So how do you differentiate the behaviors between a design engineer or a process engineer or even a systems engineer? Or in the sales world, you've got sales engineers, you've got order takers, you've got customer service. How do you look at the behaviors necessary for job fit? And we know that behavior is one of the biggest predictors of performance. So our work with John is that as he tried to right-size the sales force that he needed based on his go-to-market strategy, we were able to look at those intrinsic behaviors in individuals, and rather than focus on looking at a person's skill set or background, we focused on the behavior to allow them to get to the type of sales we wanted. And as John began to look at our process and how that supported him, the things that emerged were kind of telling, weren't they?
Absolutely. And what has become very interesting from my standpoint is that the things that we learned in dealing with large organizations like Cooper Industries also translates very well to small businesses like Viable Resources, where one of the customers I'm working with today. And remember, Viable Resources works on the contact center side, so it's a completely different set of skills that we were looking for at Cooper. But what I've found to be most valuable is the fact that as a manager, the personality attributes or the assessment features that we're finding lead me as a business manager to be able to manage the individual more effectively. For example, the one that I like to use is the person, a details-oriented person, and I'm going to need to lift their chin once in a while so they can see the big picture, or are they a big picture person and once in a while we're going to have to lower their chin and make them look at the details. As a business leader, whether it's a large business or a small business, those are the types of things that provide, I don't want to use the word shortcuts, but at least reduce the learning curve from 6 months getting to know somebody's behavior and actions to perhaps 1 month by having this little bit of a shortcut through the executive group.
Well, and I appreciate that plug. The component piece here is, as we bring this show to a close, is that, you know, when you look at strategic planning as a whole, I want to thank John for coming on board these last 2 weeks and taking the time to talk about strategic planning and its role. But, you know, it encompasses everything from culture to people, your business plan, the execution of that plan, and the work that John and I have done and the work that we can support clients going forward is be able to bring that full gambit of ability to help you bring that business to a successful outcome and stay on track and not get too far off target. Again, John Gannon, my friend and colleague, work with John at two different companies. I'm your host, Rick Thiemann. You've been listening to What's Leadership Got to Do with It. Our show airs every Monday at 1 o'clock Eastern, 10 Pacific. where we talk about the latest things around business dynamics and follows the chapters of the book. As we look at what we do from an executive standpoint, our mission is to help you link your human capital with your strategic intent. You can find us on the web at www.theeg.com, or you can call us at 866-472-5790 and give us your questions, or write us at rick@theeg.com. We certainly enjoy your listening. For those who listen in, you can download our show at our website. Again, that's www.theeg.com. We thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you again for tuning in to What's Leadership Got to Do with It? Please join your host, Rick Thiemann, again next Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. Have a great week.